Welcome to Sunday School to the service. Could I just mention, Ian did send out a message yesterday to the Sunday School. There will be a Sunday School excursion once again this year, and it's great that Sunday School excursion will be starting up again after the 2 years of COVID and no excursion. All the details are on that message, and there is a list to fill out and complete. And if you're going, please complete that list that has been sent out on the WhatsApp group. I know Ian needs all that back in for next Sunday, so do please attend to that as quickly as possible. I know that he would really appreciate that. I encourage you to go, because it is a good day of fellowship, and it's a good day to for the Sunday School families to get together. Let us turn in the Word of God to the book of 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and we're reading from the verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let us seek the Lord for prayer. O God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you would write it upon our hearts. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to think about abiding in Christ, and this is a lesson in faithfulness, and we're going to consider this word that is used here in the verse 24, and it is the word abide, and the word is emphasized here. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, and the word remain there is the same word as the word abide. The word abide, it means principally to remain. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And down in the verse 27, you also have the word used there as well. Ye shall abide in him. Now, there are some words in John's writings which are characteristic of him. And we have thought about some of these words. The description of Christ, the title of Christ as being the Word. That's one of John's peculiar phrases. And then John loves to use the word agapao for love, and emphasizing the love that should exist between ourselves and God, the love with God loves us, and the love whereby we should love and care for one another within the family of the church. The word light is another characteristic of John, and that is the theme of John's gospel, walking in the light. And it was John, of course, who recorded the Lord's great statement, I am the light of the world. Truth is another one of John's favorite words. And last time we thought about the word truth and how the truth is bound up in the persons of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how John recorded Christ's words, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But now we come to another one of these words that John likes to use. It is the word abide, or the word remain, as we also have it translated here in the verse 24 of your 1 John chapter 2. And this, of course, is not merely the language of John. It's the language of the Holy Spirit, but in particular, it's the language of Christ, because Christ used the word abide most famously in John chapter 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And as the branches abide in the vine, so we are to abide in Christ. And that is the great lesson there. And so it is important that we understand what this means, because if we are to walk in the light, we need to be a people who abide in the Lord, a people who abide in the Saviour, who remain with the Saviour. Now, we must remember that all of this is framed within the context of false teachers. And that is the general context here, false teachers. And these false teachers he describes as antichrists, people who oppose the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, who introduce false teaching into the church. And the antichrists had left the church. They had been forced to leave the church because they were acting contrary to the word of God. The verse 19 says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." The very painful thing of false teachers arising within the church and proving by their falsehoods that they did not truly belong to the Lord. And so John, he looks at God's people here and he says, "You're not like these false teachers who went out. You abide. You're to remain with the body of Christ, with the family of the church." And this call to abide, it is a call to be faithful and consistent in our walk with God. That's what it means. We are to be faithful and we are to be consistent as we follow the Saviour. It's a call to faithfulness. The Church of Christ requires that God's people are faithful. The importance of being faithfulness, importance of being faithful. So we're going to think today what it means to be faithful and what faithfulness entails. First of all, we need to be faithful to Christ's person. We need to be faithful to the person of Christ. And this is what John is saying here. In the verse 24, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Faithful to Christ, faithful to the Son of God. We're thinking here of this relationship we have with Christ. It is a very precious, it's a very unique relationship, the relationship which we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be faithful to him because he is our Saviour. Now, let's just think of this word abide and what it teaches us about being faithful to the Saviour. And let's use the illustration of earthly friendships. There are some homes that you would not enter unless you had an invitation. You just wouldn't go there. You would be invited first. There are some homes that you could go to without an invitation, but you would knock the door. And you wouldn't open that door until the door was opened. And there are some homes that you're so familiar with the people and they're such close friends that you could just turn the handle and walk in. There are some homes, if you went into the home, you wouldn't sit down unless you were invited to sit down. And there are other homes you could sit in and make yourself at home. There are some homes that you may go into and you'd be slightly afraid of overstaying your welcome. There are other homes that you could stay ever so long and you could enjoy so much companionship and friendship in that place. And whenever we think of abiding in Christ, we think of the closest friendship imaginable, because we can go to Christ, we can enjoy his company, he's with us all the time, and we are with him. He never leaves us, he never forsakes us, he's always interested in us, and he's just a constant friend. And that's the value of abiding in Christ. It's not just about going to somebody's home and sitting down and being in that property. It's about enjoying that person's friendship. And whenever you abide with someone, you get to know them, they get to know you. There's a friendship there that develops. We want to develop that friendship. We grow to love that person more. A person becomes part of our hearts, they become part of our hearts. There's an abiding there. enjoying the friendship of another. There's a confidence there, there's a trust, being able to expose your heart to that person, share all of your fears and all of your desires, all of your aims, all of your ambitions. And that's a precious friendship indeed. It's a friendship that we should value whenever you're able to abide with somebody in that way. And of course, the closest friendship on earth is the friendship we have with our spouse, with our husband, and with our wives. But there are others that we enjoy good friendship with, and we're also grateful for that. But there's no friendship like the one that we have with Christ. He is our greatest, and he is our best friend. One that has us on his heart continually. One who sees every tear. One who feels every burden. We can totally unburden ourselves before him. We can trust him completely. Do we value that friendship? Because if we are to abide in Christ, we need to value the friendship that we have with Christ. Appreciate that friendship. Appreciate that love that he has. We need to develop that friendship. If you develop friendship with somebody, you talk to that person, you get to know them, you spend time with them, you don't ignore them, you spend time with that person. And that's what it is to have friendship with Christ. It is to develop that friendship, to spend time with Christ. That's why we should be reading our scriptures. That's why we should be praying. That's why we should be faithful to his house. That's why we should be faithful in the prayer meetings in the house of God. We value the friendship, you see. It's about being faithful. Not merely about being faithful to an institution, to an ordinance, to a creed, to a church, to a denomination. It's not just about being someone before others. It's about being faithful to Christ, abiding in Christ. And that's why we should be so clear as to who Jesus is. And that's why the message last week is so important, where we ask the question, who is the real Jesus? He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He became flesh. He came into this world. He lived and died for us, and he rose again for us, and he sits at God's right hand for us, and he makes intercession, and one day he's returning again. Whenever you have these proper biblical concepts and truths about Christ in your heart and in your mind, you want to know him more, because this is the Christ who loves us and who cares for us. This is the Christ that we want to abide in. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. And so we need to be faithful to his person. Let's also think about being faithful to his word, faithful to Christ's word. And the emphasis here is upon that which we have heard. Let that therefore, in verse 24, abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. He's talking here about the beginning. What does he mean by the beginning? He's obviously talking about a word, because you hear a word. So, what is the word that he has heard from the beginning? This is not the first time that John has talked about the beginning. 1 John 1, verse 1, this is how he begins his epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And he's talking there about Christ. We saw him, we touched him, we heard him. We heard him from the beginning when he called us to follow him, when we left our nets and followed him, when he called us to be disciples, when he changed our lives, when we heard him. John is reflecting upon that time when he was first saved, when he came to know Christ. Talking about the time he left those nets, talking about the time he repented of his sin, talking about the time he obeyed. That which he heard Christ's voice, he heard Christ's teaching, follow me. That which we have heard from the beginning, let that word abide in you. We should reflect upon the basic essence of the gospel, that which we have heard from the beginning. We should reflect upon that moment we were saved and when we came to know Christ. We should reflect upon those truths that were absolutely essential if we were to be set on the road to heaven. The atonement through Christ, the blood of Christ covering all our sin, the fact that our sins are damning and destroying us, but here is the blood of Jesus Christ washing every sin away. Here is the Holy Spirit who come into our hearts enable us to be born again, that which we have heard from the beginning. Oh, how we should love the gospel. Love it with all of our hearts. Love gospel truth. That which we have heard from the beginning. The reason why this church is here is because of that gospel. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that which we have heard also teaches us the absolute and complete authority of the Word of God. That which we have heard. They heard the voice of Christ. That was God's Word speaking through the Son of God. But we have the Word of God today. In fact, Peter said, and this is an amazing thing that Peter said, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter said, we saw him. We saw him on that mount. He was transformed. And we saw him there with Moses and Elijah. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the word written down. And Christ has gone. He has ascended into glory. We no longer hear him as once we did, but we hear God's word today written down from generation to generation. A day star that has arisen in our hearts. The absolute authority of the word of God. You see, God's word is genuine from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation. From the first words in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to the very last words of the book of Revelation. This is God's unadulterated word. God's incorruptible word. This is the word of God that alone can save the soul. This is God's word that shines a light through our passage in this world. The word of God. We can trust every part of it. There are no errors and there are no inaccuracies found therein. That which we have heard from the beginning. Let us abide in that word. Trust it. It is the most valuable possession that we have. The scriptures of truth. But we must also be faithful to through Christ's spirit. If we are to be faithful to Christ's person and to Christ's word, we must be faithful through the Spirit. The Spirit enables us to be faithful. And we come here to verses 26 and 27. He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, it is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And here we come to think about this anointing again. This unction from the Holy One, this charisma, as it is in the Greek language, this gift of the Spirit that's given to all of God's people. All of God's people have the gift of the Holy Ghost. All of God's people, without exception, have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. There's no believer here doesn't have this unction from the Holy One. The Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts. Now he's coming to talk about this indwelling Spirit again. This anointing, and how this anointing enables us to be faithful. He talks about them that seduce you, them that try to lead you astray, them that try to lead you up the wrong path. He talks about these false teachers, these antichrists. He says you can stand against them because you've got this anointing, this charisma, this Holy Spirit who gives us understanding. You see, to be faithful, we need God's word, but we also need God's Spirit. We can have God's word, but if we don't have God's spirit, God's word just becomes like an academic exercise. It becomes dry and cold and barren. And some professing Christians are living dry and cold and barren Christian lives because they've got the word but don't have the spirit. They don't have life. It's all about going through a certain rigmarole of some kind of religion, some kind of profession, but there's no enjoyment there. There's no love there. There's no passion there. There's no spirit there. But the Spirit always acts in conjunction with the Word. And so when we've got the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit opens the Word to our understanding. The Holy Spirit gives us an enjoyment, gives us insights into the Word. The Holy Spirit enables us to grow in the Word. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word, always confirms the Word. The Holy Spirit gives life to the Word. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The importance of having the Holy Spirit. Whenever we come to read the scriptures, we should always be praying, Lord, teach me, show me. Show me truth. Show me what this means. Show me what this means to me. Lead me, guide me. Whenever we come to God's house, we should have that prayer. Lord, teach me through thy Spirit. that I might be kept from sin. This book might keep me from sinning. Lord, show me what I must do. Give me a submissive heart to the word of God. May God have mercy upon some professing Christian that comes to God's word with a closed mind, a closed heart, doesn't want to be changed. Where's the Spirit there? You see, we need the Holy Spirit. We need this anointing. But he says something very interesting here. He says, you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, it is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let no man teach you. Now, this doesn't mean that it's wrong to be taught by somebody else. In fact, John is teaching the people here. So obviously he's not saying it is wrong to be taught by someone else, because he himself is teaching. So what does he mean? He's saying, we are not to allow false teachers to lead us astray. I remember talking to a believer one time. I heard this man saying this, and he said it wasn't God's will for him to go to Bible college, because he read this verse, let no man teach you. And he thought, I'm not going to go to Bible college because the Bible has said, let no man teach you. He eventually did go to Bible college. I think he probably realized that that was a false interpretation of the passage. You see, you can enable the Bible to say anything you want it to say if you just pluck a little phrase out of context. Anyone can do that. False teaching is erected upon that very premise, taking words, phrases, wrenching them out of context, making them mean what you want them to say. You always need to be careful about that. This is within the context of false teachers. You're not to allow people to seduce you, not to allow people to lead you astray. You've got to be careful who you're being taught by. And you've got to measure everything that you're taught with the Word of God. And I think that's really, really important. I remember talking to somebody who was being trained for ministry in a place where there was lots and lots of liberal teaching. And this person said, look, all I want is to get out into a church and congregation and preach the gospel, but the stuff I'm learning at seminary, he says, I couldn't really depend on it. And that is an example of where he should not be allowing any man to teach him. He should have been walking away from that kind of a situation, because the Spirit obviously was showing him, look, this isn't right. We need to think about what we are being taught. You know, anything that you hear from me and anything you hear from any preacher, you should measure it up by the Scriptures. You should measure it up with the Holy Spirit that's given to you. You should never blindly accept what the pulpit says. Apostasy has crept into churches because there were people who thought, well, we'll trust what the pulpit says, and we'll not worry too much about what the Bible says. If the pulpit ever takes you from the Bible, it's time to challenge the pulpit. You know, the simplest child with faith in the simplicity of the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit with him or her, knows more than all of the professors with PhDs that know nothing of God's love and who contradict the Scriptures. We must use spiritual discernment. And that's vital. That's how the church is protected against compromise, against apostasy, whenever we are discerning where the Word of God is concerned, where our teaching is concerned. We must measure everything up. And there are times we can be in situations, we hear something and we wonder, is that right? The Holy Spirit challenges us. We need to listen to the voice of the Spirit. We need to inquire. We need to be an inquiring people. We need to be a discerning people. This is the kind of thing that we are being taught here. There are times big decisions in the lives of Christians are made. I think of believers. You know, we are so blessed here, so blessed in this country with the gospel-preaching churches that there are. But I think of believers who may live in lands and in countries, and perhaps there's a young person here and you'll have to go and travel somewhere and take up a job somewhere else. Providence will lead you in a totally different land, totally different nation, and you'll have to think about, what church will I go to? What teaching will I expose myself to? And how are you going to make that decision? How are you going to make that decision? What criteria should you use? Well, this is a very nice, friendly church. The people are so nice. People might be nice, but the beliefs, the doctrines, the theology, the creed, the confession might be all wrong. Teaching might be all wrong. So don't just be taken in by nice, friendly faces. Sometimes the nice friendly faces can cover up the cracks that are hiding there below the surface. You need to exercise spiritual discernment. And I believe every church should be a friendly church. It should be a welcoming church, and that's very important. But the truth that's preached is the foundation of it all. And that's our challenge here, to make sure we always keep the foundation right. And so whenever we use discernment and pray about what church should we go to, some young person here may be traveling to another country, another place, and where should you worship? Well, you need to pray carefully about that and make sure you're in a place where the gospel is preached, where Christ is exalted, and where God's word is held up as the only rule of faith and practice. I know in my mind where my convictions are. I am a Protestant. I'm a Presbyterian, and I'm a free Presbyterian. And if I was ever in a situation where there was no free church, I'd be looking for a reformed church that was Calvinistic, that held to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Preferably a King James church. It uses the King James Version. I was absolutely convinced this is the best version that there is in the world in the English language. That's where I am, in all conscience before God. And this is what John is meaning here. Let no man teach you. With the Holy Spirit within you, you need convictions, you need a conscience, you need to know where you stand, you need to be faithful to that with all of the might that God has given to you. But there's something wonderful about this anointing. It abides with you. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It stays with you. This anointing stays with us. There are many things in life that don't stay with us. Health doesn't stay with us. Everything changes as we travel through life. Many things change for the worst. But yet we've got the Spirit, this inner voice within, teaching us, leading us. He is constant. He is consistent. He is quiet. He is calm. He's that still small voice that Elijah heard. And yet he's a powerful voice. The Holy Spirit abiding with us. Thank God the Comforter does abide. A couple of quick things before we finish. We need to be faithful until Christ's return. He says in verse 28, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I always think of the story the Lord told, that parable of the man that went away, and he left the servants in charge of the business and of the affairs. And then when he came back, he expected his servants to be faithful. And Christ is returning. We have been given stewardship. When he comes, will he find us faithful? If he came now, would he find you faithful? It's a challenge we should take to our hearts every day. We don't want to be ashamed when he comes. We want the Master to find us faithful. And we need to be faithful in righteousness. Because he ends this chapter in the verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Those that are born of God, they live out a righteous life. That's how we're faithful. We're faithful through our Bible readings and through our prayers and through our devotions. And we're faithful through holding firm to doctrines and to truths. We're faithful through exercising discernment through the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, we're faithful because we live out the righteousness of Christ every day. We show people by our lives that we belong to him. If he is righteous, then we must know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And that's the challenge, that we might be conformed every day to the image of God's dear Son. And we fall short of that, don't we? But that's the challenge. That's the aspiration. That's the ambition. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious Father, write thy word upon every heart for Christ's sake. Amen.